Okay. Hello, my name is Stephanie, and I am a compulsive overeater. My eating career started at a very young age. I realized very early that I couldn't eat just one of anything, and I was told that I ate fast. Even though I ate a lot, I really didn't have a weight problem until I became an adult. My weight wasn't a problem because my portions were completely controlled by my mother. She counted out the meat portions because I never ate anything else besides meat. And I even at this time, as a teenager and most of college, I weighed between the 30 to 140 pounds. As a teenager, my mama convinced me that I was very big, and I believe that I was huge. And my mother constantly compared me to her because as a child she was 5'10" and she weighed 95 pounds. So she told me that I was fat and she didn't care if the doctor said I wasn't. But before I came into OA, my life was very out of control, and my credit was bad when I came in. She would control my portion because to her I was fat. So if I ate more than 2 pieces of meat or 2 slices or however the meat came, I was always told I ate too much, and she would not allow me to eat more than that. So, and she constantly would tell me I'm fat, and even when my aunts and uncles would argue back and say, "No, she's not fat at all. She's just a normal age child." She would say no, because when I was her age, I weighed 95 pounds. But it wasn't until later that I started figuring it out. Well, she was small because her mother had 8 kids, and that food was scarce, and they hardly had food to eat. So a lot of times she was skinny because of lack of food. But me being an only child and my mother had a pretty good paying job, I guess part of that behavior came down to her because they had very little food. She felt like I still eat little. And because her weight was extremely thin, she felt like mine should have been pretty much her, I should have been her size, and that her size as a teenager, weighing under 100 pounds, was to her was a normal sized teenager. So she convinced me for years that I was fat. And that led to my life being out of control, and that's why I pointed out that I had bad credit because I really didn't have put any structure around myself. My mother controlled the money and everything because she earned it. And I just when I did get a job, I just didn't pay my bills because it interfered with my food purchases. Now, I would tell people, creditors, that I don't have any money to pay my bills, but oh, I had plenty of money for food to eat. So I made sure that before I paid my bills, how much would I need for my favorite snacks or some of my favorite meals? I had that money, and I made sure that I had that money, even if I had to sell plasma. I was going to get the money some kind of way to make sure I supported my eating habit, but I didn't care any much, too much about paying my bills. And I would eat food that was uncooked, overcooked, had been on the floor, and I would go to my sorority house because years later I had placed a sorority, and after special events they always ate. So I some kind of way managed to get a key to the sorority house. So after they would have certain eve socials there, I would sneak the next day or later that night and find whatever was left over, and they would have food supposedly left for whenever we have another event within the next couple of days or so that they wouldn't have to go back and repurchase. And they always would wonder what happened to the food. Well, what happened to it was I ate it. And I ate whatever they had left over that I wanted to eat. And I would be, I would buy a meal at one restaurant, and I would forget that I bought it, put it in my back seat, go directly to another one, and not realizing that I already had food in the car to eat. I was told by one of my sponsors that this was equivalent to a drunk's blackout. And I earned my chair there too in AA. Sometimes I would just go to places, and sometimes I look at my back seat, and there'll be several boxes back there, and I wouldn't even have no clue as to when I bought each and every one of those foods or plates. And sometimes I would spend a lot of money in one day on just food for just me. So I was told that this was, so as a professional working with kids, that was another problem. As a kid, I would always take the food, and there were times that I didn't really realize just how cruel that was. That kids who would go in the cafeteria to buy snacks for that day to go with their meal, I would get angry and I'd be mad at them, and I'd just say, "No, you're not eating that." And I'd take that money and either purchase a snack that I wanted with it, or I'd snatch their snack out of their hand and pretty much eat that snack. And I was blessed that no parent came up to that school to hurt me or got myself fired, because that's a form of, that is stealing. Taking money out of a child's hands and decided I'm going to eat it for myself because I didn't really like that child. And plus, I had a habit of eating the wrong food, of eating. And it was one of the things that I wanted. So in my mind, it didn't matter because I didn't like that particular child. So in my mind, I felt justified by eating that snack. And I also would bring snacks in for myself. And where I work at, they try to promote healthy foods, and the USDA brings food into the building. I mean, purchase all of our food. So we have a strict note bringing outside food around the kids because they already have a balanced meal. They don't want them to see unhealthy food and see me eating or drinking unhealthy things because they already see that at home. So in order to kind of get them to learn more about how to take care of their bodies, you only present the foods that they buy. But, of course, being a complete eater, I've never paid any attention to none of this. So I would make sure that other portions, because I teach at a Head Start, which is a pre-K school, and so a lot of times we promote family-style dining because we want them to be able to sit down, have healthy conversations, and learn about the different food groups and things like that. But as a compulsive overeater, at mealtime, I didn't think about them. I thought about myself. So I would make sure that others got small portions so that I could have more. I always make sure that I had more. And I would take their foods and snack and the key and hide them. And so I could always eat them now or later. And as an overeater, I have tried other softer, easier ways to control my weight. But this disease, I've also tried diet pills, and I've also tried other programs that promote weight loss and removing certain food items from my diet and eating before 6, only eating between certain time frames, and overly exercising, and gym memberships for weight loss, and various food plans given by my family and friends who were well-intended. And at roughly the age of 22 or 23, a doctor recommended OA to me. That's been about 30 years ago. And he stated that the program was based on similar principles as AA, and that this program is a great option. It's a great option to consider. And after thinking it over, I went to an OA meeting, like what I had heard, but I didn't know anything about how the program works. And the word sponsor, it never came up in any of those meetings. And I did not even know what the word sponsor meant or was. I thought a sponsor was someone that only who yelled at you when you did not follow the person's when you did not follow the program the way the sponsor told you to. So it took me a while before I even would entertain this thought of having a sponsor. And a lot of that because one of my jobs, ironically, was on the addiction unit at the hospital. And I remember having to escort some patients to an AA meeting. And I remember when one of the patients had to admit that he lost his sobriety, he got screamed at. And that, to me, was what I envisioned that a sponsor do. They scream and they yell at you. And one of the things also, I see my time is coming close to the end, but, okay, I also decided to have gastric bypass surgery, and I did, and after several months, the weight did come off, and basically because I couldn't eat, it was only because I couldn't eat whatever I wanted to, or I'd get sick if I did and experience a whole lot of pain. And that's when I went quickly back into OA because I found out that with the gastric bypass, yes, my stomach is reduced, but this disease is in the mind. And so that's when I realized that even with a smaller stomach, that is not going to stop a compulsive overeater. You're still going to eat and want to eat. And you're still going to have those desires to eat beyond what you are supposed to have in your body. So I knew I really need help and that the bypass just was not going to do it. I was going to need help of a power greater than myself. And what man had done for me with that surgery, I'm thankful and I'm thankful because, because it was a choice that I had made at that time, but it also was a big, very, very big lesson that food, the desire, like I said, is in my head, and I have to learn how to control and how to work with this behavior because I'm still an addict. So, one of the things I knew way back when I was really, really into my disease, I remember going to a local restaurant here, and I worked the third shift. So I remember the lady at the store told me to get back in my car, and I was trying to order. So I told her, no, I want to come in here and buy something. She said, get back in your car. She was speaking to me through the window. So I thought I got angry, and then I went back later to try to report the lady, and I found out the reason why she told me not to come in was because the store was being robbed. Well, in my mind, I still felt like, well, you're getting robbed, but you're getting robbed in the back. While the other people in the back getting robbed, why can't you fix me my food? And in my mind, I thought that there was nothing wrong with it. I still can get my food. Y'all can complete the robbery, and I go back to work and be happy. But that was just the insanity of me, of just being selfish and only thinking about me. And this disease made me selfish. And I really, in my mind, thought that I was just one of the most giving and nicest people. But it wasn't until I did my steps four that a lot of these things start coming up. And that's when I realized I had done some pretty mean things to people while I was practicing my disease. And even when I did that, I really didn't see nothing wrong with what I did. Even when I went out buying food and then realized that I had went to almost every restaurant on my way home and would look at my back seat and see 7 or 8 different fast food bags, I still didn't see that as a problem. And it wasn't until years later, like I said, when I had the surgery, and I saw that that did not stop anything. And even though this surgery took me $20,000 out of my retirement fund to fund it. I'm like, I'm in big trouble because even all that money that had been spent, I see where I'm on the way to going back in the wrong direction.
General reminder, you have 5 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. To try to sum it all up, the program teaches me that I should rely on the power greater than myself, and I call my greater power God. And he's the power that relieves me of the bondage of self. And I have found out that I cannot stop myself from overeating, but with the help of my higher power in a relationship, and that's what the steps are, it helps me to really and truly rely on my higher power, which is God. And there are some people who really might not believe in God, and that's okay. This program works for them too as well. And that's what I love about the 12 steps. It's open and it's an inviting step because it does not exclude people. People who have various different backgrounds who normally would not meet or even mix, we find that we can come together with OA and under the OA umbrella, and we'll embrace each other and tell each other stories, and we can feel safe. And when I'm in the OA rooms, I don't have to worry about when I tell my story who's going to know, and going to work or going to church or wherever I want to go in the community, I don't have to worry about being pointed at or laughed at. But when I talk about my insanity, I have other people who, you know, embrace me and try to help me to follow and do whatever it is that works when you work the program. And for that, I am very, very thankful. And I'm also thankful to have a sponsor who pretty much paves the way because she knows what it took to lose her. I mean, she knows what it took to follow the program and to make her program a success. So all I have to do is follow what the sponsor says. It's not like I have to reinvent the wheel. I just follow what's been laid out before me. And then we also learned this program to give the way to stay healthy and out of the disease of compulsive overeater is to give away whatever's been given to you, give it away. In other words, just like my sponsor has helped me, I have to work with other sponsees and help them as well. And that's how I stay healthy. And with that, I pass.
Let me turn the recording off here.